The resorts of Walt Disney World are the icing on the cake. You can have a day filled with magic in the parks, but then getting to come back to the theming, service, and atmosphere of a Disney resort hotel, it just puts it over the top. In this post-COVID closure world we are in right now, does that magic and atmosphere still exist in the Walt Disney World resort hotels? My mom and dad recently took a quick trip to Disney World, and they got to stay in Copper Creek, the Copper Creek section, Disney Vacation Club, of the Wilderness Lodge. I was able to tag along during a lot of their trip, because that's what I do best, tag along. And on the show today, they'll be sharing their experiences in the reopened Disney Resort Hotel. We are headed into the wilderness with Tim and Sue Brown. Hello, Opinioneer, and welcome to episode number 97 of the WDW Opinion Podcast. My name is Connor Brown, and I am a former cast member and a Walt Disney World expert whose passion is to help you plan for and daydream about your next perfect Walt Disney World vacation. I do that by sharing my opinions through my podcast, through my blog, with my book, Yacht Club to Diamond Mine. That's all about my time working at Walt Disney World. During the WDW Opinion live show every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern on Facebook, in the Opinioneers online community, and so much more. Head over to WDWOpinion.com to learn all about that stuff we have going on. And once you are ready to start booking that next perfect Walt Disney World vacation, I can help you do that through my services as a travel agent with the Ear to Their Travel Agency. As a travel agent, I'll be looking for the best deals, ways to save you money. I'll give you my honest opinions and advice. I'll book restaurants. I'll wait on hold with Disney. And I'll just make sure that you have the best vacation possible. That means I handle the boring stuff, which saves you time. That time you can spend with your family. And that's also more time you can spend enjoying the parks. The best part about this service is that it is 100% free to use. It costs you nothing. It will save you time, save you money, and I'd love to help you out. If you're interested in booking, send me an email at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at ear, like ear on your head, to theirtravel.com. That's Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at ear to theirtravel, all one word, .com. Or you can visit the show notes page at wdwopinion.com/97 to learn more. If you are a new listener here, welcome, and feel free to go back and check out all of our old podcast episodes covering a wide variety of Disney-related topics, and you can subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts. If you're a longtime listener, welcome back. Thanks for being here. If you continue to enjoy the show, please consider sharing it with a friend you think might enjoy it as well. Last week on the show, I mentioned how for episode 100, I'll be collecting voice messages from the Opinioneers out there. Those voice messages will be featured in the show, and I think it's a great way to celebrate episode 100, and it's going to be a great way to celebrate our awesome community of Opinioneers. By sharing your guys' voices, I think it's just going to be a really cool way to make a connection with you. So if you want to be featured on episode 100, all you have to do is head over to the show notes page at wdwopinion.com/97, scroll to the Leave a Voice Message link, click the link, and then click Start Recording. You can record from your computer, your smartphone, whatever. All I ask is that you start by saying your name, where you're from, and then share your favorite WDW Opinion episode and why you enjoy listening to the show. Thanks so much to all the Opinioneers who have already left a message. I have enjoyed hearing those so far. It's awesome, guys. I really do love getting them. If you want to leave a voice message, you have until Sunday, September 13th, to do so. I am really excited for this. I hope you guys are too. It's going to be a fun episode. It's going to be a fun way to hear your voices and to have you be a part of the show. If you are a little shy, no worries. you can still be included in that episode. You can send me an email answering the same questions at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at wdwopinion.com, and I'll include it in that episode. Hope to hear from you all very soon. And now for our segment. I am still on my extended stay in Florida right now, and I hope you've been enjoying following along. It has been really great to be back in the theme parks, and it's been awesome to just kind of go over to Disney Springs whenever I want. But I have missed being able to resort hop. Now, it's still possible to check out the resorts if you have a dining reservation there, but it is just a little harder to do so overall. You can't really resort hop like you used to. I was so very excited that my parents, Tim and Sue Brown, decided to take a little trip to Walt Disney World. I was excited to see them, but of course, I was excited to explore the resort hotel they were staying at, the Wilderness Lodge. Now, was I more excited to explore the resort than I was to see them? That's not the point. That's not the point of this episode. The point is that we've got a great segment today. We're talking all about the reopened resort hotels and what they are like to stay at in Walt Disney World. For me, there's always two main things I look forward to on a Walt Disney World vacation. The first is, of course, being back in the theme parks. The second is getting to stay at a Walt Disney World owned and operated resort. As I get older, the latter of the two is something I look forward to more and more. And in many aspects, the Disney resort, it might be my favorite part of the vacation. I love exploring the resorts, eating at different restaurants, relaxing, watching the must-dos featuring Stacy, all of that stuff, and so much more. We've talked a lot about the reopened theme parks recently, but since the resort stay is such a big part of any Walt Disney World vacation, I think it's time to share some opinions on what it's like to stay at a Disney resort in this new world we live in. To do that, I'm going to need some help. Our guest today just got back from a quick trip to Walt Disney World, where they stayed at the Wilderness Lodge. They've been on the show before, and they're favorites of the opinioneers out there. It's my parents, Tim and Sue Brown. Mother, father, thank you for being here today.
No problem.
Happy to do it, Connor. And hello, all you opinioneers out there.
Yes, they are always eager to have Sue on in particular. Tim, I'm sure they like having Dad on too, but there's been more Sue, I think, as of in the last.
Yeah, you have your priorities right, Connor.
No, boy. Hey, It's not my priority. So today we're going to focus on your experience staying at the Wilderness Lodge. We'll throw in some stuff about the parks for sure, but to get started, why don't you guys talk about why you decided to do this quick little trip to Walt Disney World? Because for starters, the Browns were not summer and Walt Disney World kind of people. We're just not. So going in the middle of August wasn't something you guys were familiar with. And then also we have this little thing called a pandemic going on. So all those things taken into consideration, why did you pick Walt Disney World?
We needed a break. You know, I've been in the office the entire time during the whole pandemic, and if I didn't go somewhere, I was going to lose my mind. And Disney World seemed like the perfect place.
Exactly. When we started deciding to go somewhere, we looked locally, and so many places, this part of the resort or wherever we were going to go was closed. This part wouldn't be available. So we kind of decided, why not go to Disney? They seem to be doing it really well. And it's someplace we know.
Yeah, and all those things that you were hearing too, I think really, well, there's the comfort aspect of it, obviously. Like, you're comfortable with Disney World, you know how to get around, you know how to have a vacation there, all that stuff. And while things are closed in Disney World, you're still very familiar with the layout of the place and things like that. And I think, you know, when it comes to what Dad's saying, you know, need a break. You need a break. I think so many people out there have that same feeling right now, especially. They need a vacation. They need a break. And there's kind of not a whole lot of opportunities or places out there. Like Mom, you were saying, you know, looking locally, it was, yeah, well, you could be in a hotel, but that's pretty much it. That's all we have open. It's just the hotel aspect of things, which, well, what's the point? What are you going to do? You might as well just stay home and not do anything else. So I totally understood why you guys, you know, wanted to do that. And it's kind of the reason why I decided to come down for an extended stay as well, a break, a change of scenery and things like that. So even, you know, with the middle of August, a time we typically wouldn't go or a time you guys typically wouldn't go, I think it's just still appealing because things are open. You have the procedures in place. All that.
No, we always go in the summertime. We've been there the last time, I think, was 2002.
Connor, you and I went last summer.
We went last summer, but like in June.
Right.
You know, I feel like the last time we actually went as a family was like 1998 in the summer.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I can tell you when we were standing in line to go into the Muppets. And it was 9 million degrees, and there was a line outside. We were there in it for an hour, and I said, I'm never doing this again.
In the summer, yeah.
I think that was the second time
we'd ever been. You were in a stroller.
We'd only ever been,
you were definitely in a stroller.
We had only ever been in summer, yeah. But that was the last time the Browns took a vacation there. And I think, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit with it being hot and stuff like that. It's definitely probably still not our preferred time to go, no doubt about that. But when you talk about a Walt Disney World vacation coming in from out of state, most people typically, they're flying in, you know. So Magical Express, talk a little bit about that at the Orlando International Airport. I know that was kind of a longer expedition than it normally is.
It was, but it wasn't that big a deal. But, you know, we got, by the way, flying was fine. Now we feel like, woo, we did it. We conquered flying. You know, everybody wore their masks and we did Southwest, so no seat in the middle. It was more crowded going down than coming back. Coming back, we were one of 34 people on the flight. Anyhow, Magical Express, it was just that there were less buses operating. So when
there were actually no buses there when we got
That's
there.
Crazy.
When we got there, there was one and it left, and then there were no buses, and then the bus showed up and eventually it became our bus. So, but it was the first time I'd ever seen no, there's usually all the buses are there. It might not be your bus, but there's always every slot is filled with a bus, you know?
Right.
And it wasn't that at all, but I don't really think we waited all that much longer than we have on any other occasion.
No, and they just combined more resorts into one bus. But
they did assign you seats on the bus, which they had never done before.
Right, and that was a little confusing because you remember they kind of have their little laptop computer on a wheeling stand, and they come to your row. They did that as well. However, the cast member was behind plexiglass. Anyhow, yes. So she comes by and she told us we were 9 opposite the driver's side. So we got on the bus and started looking for the number 9. Well, those seats are not numbered. So then we were like, oh, I guess we're just supposed to count back 9. And what was funny about that was after we did it, every person after us did the same thing. Everybody was looking for the numbers that did not exist. So other than that, it was just the normal Magical Express. Yeah, it was fine.
Still not a full bus or anything like that, which is good.
It's basically every other row on each side. So
like zigzag. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you always had plenty of room between you and anybody else.
And you know, that's a whole physical distancing thing. Obviously there, it starts from the very, very beginning. The first interaction you have with Disney. When you get off in Orlando, it's you're being handled by whatever airline you're flying, whether it's Southwest or whatever, or Frontier, may God have mercy on your soul, whatever it is. But then the first opportunity for you to interact with Disney, you know, that safety sort of stuff kind of starts from the beginning. So that's good to hear that they're doing it for there. And it's also good to hear that it didn't impact the trip too much, because I think that that's also really important for people to know that the safety procedures are necessary. They make you feel safe, but they're still not intrusive to where it becomes an unpleasant experience, which is good. And you know, they're also trying to do this as soon as you get to the resort too. Disney is making a huge, huge, huge push for everyone to do online check-in. Not just to do online check-in, but to also do direct to your room check-in. So basically how the process works, you know, direct to your room check-in used to be kind of when there was more people, Disney could only accommodate so many people because there are magic band issues, or you have to come because they're going to switch you into a different room. So you have to come to the front desk with less people. They want to limit the contact people are having with the front desk cast member. So what you do is you check in either through the My Disney Experience app or in My Disney Experience on your web browser. You go through the whole normal online check-in process. And then basically what happens is when you get to the resort, hopefully your room's ready. Basically, guys, when you scanned into the Magical Express, I think that's when we got the notification that your room is ready. Here's your link to discover your room number. And it's kind of, the room number is hidden in the My Disney Experience app. And that's for security purposes too. So that if someone found your, you know, saw your text message or whatever, they said, oh, they're in that room in the Wilderness Lodge. It's not, you know, directly out in the open. You have to kind of find it. But it's cool because I actually got to the resort before you guys meet. I was meeting up with you and I was in the room. I was on the reservation. So I was able to see that notification, walked right in, scanned my band on the door at the hotel and walked right into the hotel room. And I think that that process was cool, easy, but really awesome to be able to walk just right to your room, right?
Right. And by the way, you got the notification before we even did. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you texted us, room's ready. And we were like, oh. But I think one thing was nice too, because it's less people, the room was ready when we got there. There, we've been many times where we, you know, park our bags and go to a park or something and, you know, have to wait hours for that text. But we were in at 11:30 or something and the room's ready. So that part was great.
Yeah. And it's just nice walking into that room, because I was the first one to walk into it. It, you know, they had extra safety procedure placards there. The remote control was wrapped in like a cleaning thing or whatever. But so those little touches in the room are really nice. In addition to, you know, expediting the process through online check-in and stuff like that. So, you know, overall, when you guys were exploring the resort throughout your stay, how did it seem? Like, did it seem any different overall compared to a normal time, you know, pre-pandemic, or was it pretty much fairly, this is Wilderness Lodge, it's pretty much always what it has been?
Well, except it was empty.
And you have to wear masks.
There's nobody there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think it's because there weren't as many people there as, so there weren't people in the lobby all the time. So the social distancing wasn't really an issue because of just sheer volume of people. And yeah, everybody wore a mask everywhere they went. I never felt like, you know, triggered or whatever, you know, by it. And, yeah, there's hand sanitizer everywhere. There's lines on the floor, you know, just like there is in the parks. And it was fun. I mean, from that aspect, it was business as usual. Now, and Wilderness Lodge specifically, because the only thing that was closed there was the
Territory Lounge.
Yes, that. And
oh, I don't, was Artist Point open?
Artist Point was closed also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those right. two were closed, but the quick service was open. The, you know, Whispering Canyon was open. And of course, our family favorite, Geyser Point, was open.
And yes, Whispering Canyon, I think the only difference there really was, you know, they took our temperature before we went in for our breakfast that morning. So that was, they didn't do that at every Disney restaurant, but they did do it there. And I will say,
they did do it at all of the Disney restaurants you ate at. So we ate at Terralina and we ate at Wine Bar George, not owned and operated by Disney.
Okay.
Whispering Canyon is owned fully and operated by Disney. So one other thing we did, though, Mom, was they had the QR code and a big sign before you entered. Remember?
Right.
We took a picture of the QR code and said, check in. So we checked in mobily, got the text message when our table was ready, and that was the first time we went up to the host stand, and that's when they took each of our temperatures.
Right, right. Now, they didn't do that at Geyser Point, though. They don't take your temperature there. But I do also want to say that every waiter or waitress we had wore a face mask and a face shield. So,
and it seems like that's becoming the majority just for cast members, like around. I think in food related ones, they're required to. They have to have both. I think security has to have both. I think there are a number of other ones that are kind of optional when it comes to wearing both. Every cast member has to have a face mask on, whether it's the plastic shield as well. I think in like attractions, I think it's their personal preference. Same thing in merchandise and things like that. But security, food and beverage, bartenders, they have to do both, which is cool. But yeah, I think that you hit on it perfectly. Like from an open, a percentage of things that are open to do, Wilderness Lodge has it all. You have the sit-down restaurant that you can go to in Whispering Canyon. You can go to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You have Roaring Fork, which is the quick service you can go to for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then you also have the big bar, outside bar area in Geyser Point, where you can also get food. And then also both pools were open because you guys were staying in the DVC component, the Copper Creek. So that DVC pool was open, the Boulder Ridge one, but then also the main pool was open, even though only DVC rooms are open right now at Wilderness Lodge. Right. That's for a majority of the deluxe resorts out there. But from a sheer, you know, things that you typically do at Wilderness Lodge versus things you could do now, the only difference was really that inside Territory Lounge and Artist Point.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. I think for me, sometimes I just like to, especially in Wilderness Lodge's lobby, I just like to sit in the lobby and hang out and just watch everything. But you didn't want to do that because you had to wear a mask. So I will say, you know, that kind of, not that that's a big deal, but for me, just, you know, doing that is kind of part of my fun.
And also, just because the restaurants are open, I mean, Whispering Canyon, the menu seemed to be the same as it does all the time. The Geyser Point, the menu was very small.
Yeah.
There was a sandwich, two cheeseburgers, you know.
A few salads,
which were all basically the same, just with a different protein. And, you know, maybe three or four appetizers. I know we ordered all of the appetizers one day.
Yeah.
I remember that. And it wasn't all that much. I think it was three things. So, I mean, if you're there for a week, it's going to get a little boring, you know, if you plan on, you know, eating at your hotel all the time because you don't have the other option, really.
I mean, the menu is going to be boring.
Yeah, yeah. But food was great. Everything was good, you know, and that place is great just to sit out there. Even when it's hot outside, the fans and everything, that's just a great place to sit.
Yeah, I think we were there four times during the trip.
Yeah, and absent the masks, really no difference. No atmospheric difference of any kind. It was felt the same. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Especially, you know, when we're talking about Geyser Point, it's one of my favorite places on property. And Dad, I think we were sitting there maybe on the first day when you even said, like, I feel like I can finally relax. Like being at Geyser Point, even now through this all, it kind of has a serenity towards it, being on the water, being open, a beer in your hand, or what was that Long Island iced tea? Was it a Rocky Mountain iced tea or something?
I have no idea.
He probably should not have one again.
No, I should probably have two. Whatever it was fantastic.
And, you know,
the fact that I can't remember its name is probably good.
Yeah, right. You know. Probably, that's true.
And good staff. And we had a great waitress, too, when we were having our breakfast. You know, we even gave her a cast compliment. So everybody was happy to see you. And, you know,
and the
it's all good.
The pool was great. I mean, if you're pool people, now is a great time to go because there were maybe 10 to 15 people at most at the pool when we were there.
Right. Very peaceful. Yeah.
You pick your seat, where sit wherever you want, you know, umbrellas, chairs, everything. They even had on the tables, they had one of those QR codes or whatever they are.
Yeah.
So I think you could have ordered food. We didn't bother because literally it's three steps away. But I think you could have ordered food from Geyser Point and probably went and picked it up and brought it back if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think they were doing mobile ordering because that's – so Geyser Point has always had that area where it was the bar, the sit-down – area of the bar, and then off to the right it was the quick service counter.
Right.
The quick service counter right now is closed.
Right.
But you know, Dad, what you're saying is true. On the My Disney Experience app, you can mobile order, and then when it says your food's ready, you go up. And then I think that was because we only waited in quote unquote line at Geyser Point on the first day, right?
Oh, right, exactly. Otherwise, we just went and sat it down.
But that was cutting. I think the maitre d' guy was a little flustered that morning because there was orders coming in. There were people in bathing suits, you know, and we were looking for a table. And
plus, it was lunchtime, and I think it was about to rain.
Yeah.
So once those rain clouds start, I think they get a little, you know, that's their busy time. And by the way, also at the pool, you know, they've plenty of places to sit, but they're all 6 feet apart. You know, they have them in little groups.
Yeah.
And then they're separated, and it's more than 6 feet apart.
And it's still completely empty. I mean,
yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
It was really nice. So by the way, we kind of spoke with some people and overheard some other people who really just were there for a resort-only vacation, just purely to stay at the hotel and swim and chill. So
yeah, and I think that kind of brings up the next point, you know, that I wanted to try to make. And we've talked about it a lot, and I think it's come across pretty well, but the fact of, even though there are restrictions in place, and you have to wear a mask everywhere, and XYZ, this is still a place you can relax at, right? Where you can kind of feel like you're not in the whole pandemic sort of area, where you can just sit by the pool, get a drink at Geyser Point, whatever it is, you can still relax there, right?
Yeah, that was probably one of the least COVID affected like afternoons, you know, because when you're at Geyser Point, you're sitting at a table, so you don't have your mask on. When you're at the pool, you don't have to have your mask on. And because one, everybody's far away from each other, and two, you know, you're swimming in a pool. So that I would bet that felt exactly the same as it would, you know, it would have 6 months ago,
right?
You know,
right.
That day would have been felt exactly the same. Yeah.
So I think, you know, even though we kind of wanted to make this a wilderness lodge sort of thing, I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the parks a little bit and your guys' experience in the parks and all that. I think our big takeaway, of course, is it's wicked hot out there,
right?
You know, so I think our suggestion for everyone coming in the summertime, still, and this carries into September, we know that, is get in early, get out, because the witching hour, the high noon, is it's tough in there. But that aside, procedure wise getting into the parks, security, temperature checks, what did you guys think about all that?
It's flawless. you know you come up, you come from the bus or whatever, and they have these Adventist healthcare tents up. They funnel you into it. And there's it's like three or four different people in each tent with a thermometer. You just walk up, they do your head, you know, they, you know, take your temperature, say, okay, you're good to go. You walk out the back of the tent, you go through security, and boom, you're in the park. It's just like any other time. It's literally 3 seconds more. And again, we never waited in the line to have your temperature taken, yeah, other than maybe two people, you know.
And security is easier too.
Yeah.
In at least three of the parks, it was had been revamped. And I mean, the thing that I learned was you take out your umbrella and a water bottle that is the kind that you have.
That's metal.
That's a metal water bottle. And even one time, the last day at Hollywood Studios, when I went through, he just saw my umbrella and it was interesting. The security guy just motioned for me to hold it up in the air as I walked through the, whatever the thing is called, the scanner thing.
The normal metal detector.
Yeah. He was like, I didn't have to put it in the container. You just hold it up in the air. And I'm like, okay, I guess that's just a signal. If something goes off, that's what it is. But that was a breeze. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, walking into the lines, piece of cake. And as everybody knows, you don't use your thumbprint, right? I mean, your fingerprint right now. You just scan your magic band and you're in. And I think the parks were empty. So that was of course awesome. But, you know, I think it was the heat more than anything else.
Oh yeah.
You know, and that's just being in the summer. But the heat.
It's being in the summer and it is having the mask on your face.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, there's people who've been wearing masks, you know, 12 hours a day or whatever since this whole thing started. And for them, it's probably not that big a deal. A lot of people didn't seem to be struggling with it all, but I rarely wear a mask. I mean, I'm at home all the time or, you know, in my office with the door closed. So for me, I hadn't had a mask on for 4 hours at one time before, ever, you know, so. And it was 90 some odd degrees in the shade. So
it was the combination.
Yeah. I mean, was it great? No, but it wasn't terrible. You know, if it gets bad, you grab a soda and you sit down, you take it off for a little while, you know.
I think that
there's plenty of places to do that. You know,
the one thing you have to keep in mind is it took a couple of days, but then I said to myself, you're not drinking as much because of the mask. Yeah. And so I kind of had to tell myself, you need to drink because you're going to get
drinking water.
You just need to keep drinking water or something because normal on a typical Disney day, you know, I'm drinking the entire day water and you were just kind of, you didn't want to drink as much because of the mask. And, you know, that's not a good combination. One thing I will say too is I was impressed with was how well kids did with the masks. Because I don't think we ever saw during the 4 days of being at parks any little kid who was putting up a fight about their mask. I think they're just like, hey, we've been around a lot longer. So we're used to life without a mask. And these little kids are kind of more like, okay, mom and dad said we have to wear a mask. Everybody's wearing a mask. And they were just wearing their masks. It was good.
Yeah, everybody had a mask. And it wasn't really issues. You know, I mean, it's different. Makes your face hotter, you know, but other than that, whatever. But I mean, it's kind of depends on what your motivation is because everything is empty. So
in the back of our heads, we always have the thing of we're going to be back. You know, I feel like we always have to say that out loud because if this was something where I hadn't been in 5 years to Walt Disney World, then I decided to come during this time right now. I don't think you could pull me out of the parks until they closed you mean I get to go on it again? You mean I get to walk right on to Flight of Passage because that's what we did. We waited 10 minutes, if that, to ride Flight of Passage. We could have walked out. We could have got right back on it and done it again. We could have done that all day long. But in the back of our heads, we know it's annoying. The mask can be annoying at times, for sure, especially midday. So we also know, man, we got a nice cold room, which is as cold as the Arctic, because it was.
Yeah.
Back at the Wilderness Lodge, we have Geyser Point, our favorite place. We can go back there, and it was almost like a sanctuary. Like we loved going into the parks, having a blast, going on all the rides that we wanted to. But having that in the back of our head of where we could just go back to Wilderness Lodge, which we love, and also we're coming back pretty soon.
Right. And, you know, part of it, too, is the curiosity of seeing what it really is like in the parks right now. So, you know, kind of doing exactly what you're talking about. Gosh, what's it like to get in? What's it like walking around? What's it like without, you know?
Okay,
it was interesting just being in the parks and seeing how they did it, too.
here's an observation that everyone will who listens to you will know. There were six strollers parked behind the carousel.
That is insane.
Yeah. I believe I took a picture of it. Yes, because yeah. I was like, look at this.
Where there's normally 600.
Right.
You know, yeah. That whole area was wide open. You could have parked cars there.
And those things are unusual to see. But, you know, what I keep trying to tell people who, you know, when I post a picture of an empty park, when I go live from an empty park and there's a comment that's like, no people there. That's so sad. I try to reiterate this, and I think you guys are on the same page. When you're in the parks, it doesn't feel sad, right? When you don't see all those strollers, when you don't see a mass of people, it doesn't feel sad being in the parks. It just feels different, yet still awesome, right?
Yeah, a little of both. You know, a few more people would be nice, just because it seems empty. You know, I mean, very empty.
Yeah, I think the only place where we felt that way, more Dad than me, yeah, but was Magic Kingdom, yeah, where Magic Kingdom, you know, you're used to seeing just so many people and happy and laughing or screaming. And we kind of laugh because it's like, oh, it's nap time. It's, you know, but there was so few people that Dad at one point said, it is kind of sad. It's like an amusement park that's going out of business, but it's not. But it felt like that a little bit. But I think you also have to keep in mind that that's when we were really hot. And we needed a beverage, and they just didn't have a lot of little of those stands all around where you could just grab a beverage on every corner. Yeah. You had to search for a place to go get a drink when we were, you know, really hot. And so it was kind of, that was the only park where we both kind of felt like it was a little, not sad, but just kind of,
it wasn't as cool as normal.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
others all seemed fun.
Right. The yeah. others just as festive. All the other parts. Awesome. Yeah.
I mean, it was the studio specialist. I mean, even almost to the, it was a very light crowd, but it was still Hollywood Studios. You know, it's relatively small. Mm-hmm. So there seemed to be more people there the day we went. And that might all be Star Wars stuff and everything too. But, and there was, it seemed like there was more food options there a little bit.
Right.
It didn't seem, I don't know, there were parts of the Magic Kingdom, like Frontierland is basically just a hallway now. You know, other than Pecos Bills, there's really nothing there. I mean, the bears are up on the roof, you know, waving to you as you go by because their show's canceled.
The bears were open?
I don't think it was.
Oh, okay.
Was it? Okay. Well, then, all right. But all the food stuff along the river there is all closed.
And it might just be the stuff that we typically know exactly where to go
and we were
to
there grab on, this. You know, we were there on Monday. Maybe they knew the crowds were going to be low. Maybe they didn't open up as many as they would on Saturday. I think it might be all that.
I think that's exactly what it is. Because on the times that I've gone to Magic Kingdom, I think it's just so fluid. It's such a changing thing. They know how many people are coming to the parks on X, Y, and Z day. So they can close down a soda stand here or there. Yes, it is true. There are less, like, those quick snack ones open throughout the parks, mm-hmm, for yes, sure. Just because that was always a foot traffic thing. It was always you got to have one every X amount of feet because that's when, you know, a soda's going to pop into someone's head of like, oh man, I need a soda. Right. I need a soda. So everything is evolving and changing. But I think overall, you still have that sense of we're in Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're
yeah,
in the Magic Kingdom.
And on the other hand, we got there, you know, not early. I mean, 10:30 or something, 10:30. And we ran Mine Train. God help me, Small World.
My pick.
Haunted Mansion, and Big Thunder Mountain in about an hour.
Yeah,
and which is just so
We walked.
Cool. Just to say,
we literally walked directly to our doom buggy on the Haunted Mansion.
Yes, you're right.
Literally walked directly to it.
And even, you know, it's also very interesting at the parks just to see all the creativity and ingenuity that had to go through every single line, like how they managed it. Like, you know, when you go in the Haunted Mansion, they don't have the room that gets that where you're in a circle and it gets
the stretching
room. But just to see the plexiglass, where they've put it and how they figured it all out, I just found it interesting.
You totally understand why they waited the extra 2 or 3 weeks to open.
Oh, absolutely.
From when they could have to when they did, you know, because it's amazing. I mean, the queues, the interior queues are, I mean, they're all plexiglass or those plastic curtains that are attached, you know, and they're fine.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing how they did it so fast because it's everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere.
Right.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit when we were on Living with the Land, those plexiglass curtains
on
Kilimanjaro Safaris as well.
Well, that was our first experience.
That's right.
We went to Epcot first, right from the, you know, basically from the airport. And that was a bit of a trip.
Yeah. But I think you mentioned, you know, get in early. But remember, our first day, we actually did the opposite. We waited until the typical thunderstorms are done. And that's when we went to Epcot in the late afternoon. So I think that's an option too. You just either get there right away or you wait and, you know, you suffer through a couple hours of it being the really hot and then you have the evening. But
I think that's the way to go for Epcot, especially because it opens at 11. So you're going to get hit immediately with heat. Like by the time you get to your first attraction, you get off your first attraction, 10 minutes later, it's going to be high noon, you know, and it's going to be hot. Versus when you get to the Magic Kingdom and it opens at 9, you got a few hours of wiggle room before it starts to really get out of hand and stuff like that. So I definitely say inverse for Epcot. I can't say do the inverse for Hollywood Studios because if you want to do a Rise of the Resistance boarding group, you got to get there. You got to get there early, even though Disney's saying you can get a boarding group at 10 or at 2.
The 2 o'clock. Right. Right. We did. We kind of went to Hollywood. That was the day we were leaving. And so we decided our only goal was to ride the Mickey Runaway, the new ride, the railway.
Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
Thank you.
Yeah, that.
And we decided, listen, we're not going to have a repeat of the day before when we were at Magic Kingdom and we got so hot and, you know, cranky. So we said, let's just go to ride that. And that was a 45-minute wait. But, you know, it's the brand new ride. And so that was fine. That was an interesting, you know, they had the lines all over the floor because you were outside. And thank goodness they had a cast member there starting you out because it was just like, okay, it was a little crazy. But, you know, that was great. And then we could have gone over to the Tower of Terror, but we were just kind of like, you know, we got something to eat. But I think that part was better too because purely we had cloud cover all day. And that made a big difference.
That was a huge difference.
That was a huge difference.
We easily could have, if that wasn't our last day, we had to get to the Tragical Express.
We easily
could have spent the day there and felt completely comfortable.
Right.
And we didn't walk the whole park or anything. So we were only basically in the front. But like I said, you know, there were quite a few things that were open. But getting back to like Epcot, if you're a person who loves to go to Epcot to do the countries, it's exactly the same now, except with nobody there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah, no one there, and they're not cultural representatives.
Right.
They're just regular cast members,
whatever.
Which is still awesome.
Well, I mean, I can count on one hand the times I actually talked to a cultural representative from another country for any real reason, you know, other than to say, yes, I would like a pretzel with that beer. Thank you. Or Danka.
Yeah.
And so I think that the festive part of it, if you'd have put us there in October without heat but still wearing the mask, Magic Kingdom may have seemed just fine. You know, I think that was added to it. Yeah. And I like the random parades. Same with, you know, at Animal Kingdom and on the river. Those are fun. And you know what? You're not like avoiding the crazy crowd at 3 o'clock. Just even if you don't want to watch the parade and you get stuck, you know, where you're going over to Big Thunder and stuff like that. That's happened to us many times. So there's lots of pluses.
Plus, we were talking about the fact that we've been so many times that we know what's on every corner. We know what's coming around this. You know, we know everything that happens, basically. But if you didn't, you wouldn't miss as much.
Right.
You know, I mean, if your kids have never been there, take them. Because they're going to get to go on every ride they want, which is 90% of what they want anyway. And, you know, I mean, if it's all princess-centric, then you're going to have some issues. But all the rides are open.
Right. At Hollywood, you know, you're missing out on some shows.
Yeah.
But hopefully those will come back relatively soon.
And that's something that's a question that I've been asked, you know, is this a time to have that first trip, you know? And the more and more I go in the parks, the more and more I struggle to answer that, because I think it's what you're saying, Dad. It's kind of like you don't know what you're missing. So is it really that big of a deal that they don't see the parade? Because it's just not an option. I mean, is it that big of a deal that they don't see the fireworks on their first time? Maybe in your eyes, because you have an idea of what a person's first perfect trip should be, but if it's not an option, it's not an option. It'd be like sending someone to on their first trip and saying, your Magic Kingdom day, you have to wait to see Happily Ever After, the nighttime fireworks show. They get there, they camp out to watch it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're sorry, because of weather, Happily Ever After will have to be canceled tonight. Is that trip a waste because their one opportunity to see Happily Ever After, they didn't get the chance to do it? Absolutely not. So when you think of those things, of what's available and what isn't available, I don't know if I can say, if you can hold out for a couple more years before you do the big first trip, sure, do it. But I also think right now is still a good time to go because of everything else, because of short waits, because of there's still a lot of stuff open and a lot of things to see and do.
Right. I think as a parent, you may appreciate the fact that the parks are closing earlier because you know, you don't have to stay till 9, 10, whatever.
But it's still plenty of time to do everything that you want.
Yeah, because the lines are virtually non-existent. Right. So you get to do everything in a shorter period of time. And you get out of the Florida sun, you know, which is what everybody's striving to do anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
I think for parents of little kids, the one thing I noticed, this was just happened to be, we were behind a family with a couple adorable little girls at Hollywood, but it's really hard to get little kids not to touch all the railings. And I was feeling for this mom who just kept saying, honey, her name was Lillian, stop touching. Lillian, stop touching. And I think as a parent, that's probably what I would just give up. Just say, okay, she's going to touch every, you know, bar, every rope, whatever. And I'm just going to, there's hand sanitizer as you got onto the ride and coming out. Because I just think that part could maybe like push you over the edge. But
yeah, but that's what you had to do with Dad too. He touches everything too.
Well, just a little bit in the beginning. And then it kind of became like,
fair point.
Okay, just, you're going to put hand sanitizer on.
Every time you see
everybody, 20 times a day, minimum.
Everybody.
Yeah. And so that would just be a little tip for the parents, you know, just lighten up a little bit for that, because they're just, it's just impossible to get them to stop touching things like that, you know?
Well, you know, I think we should mention briefly the win of the trip. Dad's fan.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. I'm a huge proponent of the neck fan phenomena. And
so I think to start this story, we had first started seeing it just on Facebook groups, right? People going to the parks, annual pass holder, Facebook groups, stuff like that. And then when I started going, you know, last month, they were everywhere. And it's literally, if you go to Amazon And I'll link the neck fan in the show notes page. So go over to wdwopinion.com/97 and I'll have a link to the exact neck fan that we've used in the parks, that my dad used in the parks. And this is the one that I saw everywhere. And I was like, because you were inquiring about it. Like the first thing you asked me when I said that I went back to the parks, you're like, you see a lot of people with those neck fans? What's the deal with those? So I got you one for your birthday, but talk about, what did it work? Was it good?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I never had it on more than low. It goes low, medium, high. And it's really good for one thing that it was really good for me for is every time I have a mask on, my glasses fog up. And by just having the fan pointing up, it defrosted my glasses pretty much all the time. And it's cool, delicious breeze across my face, you know. Right. And it was great. I mean, you're walking around with your own personal fan aimed at your head. How can that be bad?
This particular one, you recharge, plug it in at night.
Right.
And we got a comment too. Clearly they're popular. When we were in Hollywood, we went into one of the shops, remember, and the cast member, elderly gentleman, said to me, "So you're with somebody very famous." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Well, look at all those fans on around him." So cute. It was cute.
You'll hear that on the Jungle Cruise very, very soon.
That's right. Exactly. Probably. No,
it was great. And I think I didn't actually use the cooling towels that we had.
Yeah.
But I think if you had one of those and the fan, it would be probably really good.
I used the cooling towel and it was okay. Now, I know that there are tips that I didn't do, like, you know, you freeze it or something like that before you put it on. And I would say of all three things we had, Dad's fan was the number one, then the cooling towel, and last I would say would be the cooling hat. That was just okay. It was, felt a little better, but you were kind of like, let me think about it. Does it make me feel better?
I think you could just dunk your hat in water, a regular hat in water, and have the same thing. I mean, your head's wet the whole time. And
right.
All that stuff. So.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
And, you know,
having said that, two thumbs up on the fan.
Exactly. Yeah.
Fan's awesome. I think I'm going to buy myself one because they're not that expensive and they're awesome. I mean, I think it's that extra little touch that, because we say it all the time. We say, man, if that breeze just stays, I'd be fine here in Africa, in the animal kingdom, you know? And that's kind of what it is. It's just a little gentle breeze to kind of keep you going.
There were times when I actually thought to myself, wow, that breeze is nice. And then I realized, oh, that's my fan.
Oh, that's the mechanical thing around my neck.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
So with all this, you know, staying at Wilderness Lodge, going into all the parks, going to Disney Springs. We went to Disney Springs a couple of times. For the people out there that are on the fence, whether should I go, should I not? You know, you're not here to try to convince them to go one way or another, but what's the big thing you would say to them when they're considering if I should go right now or if I shouldn't? Is it a managing expectations? Is it a what to expect? What's kind of one thing you would just say to them?
I think if you're a fan of the parks, just go and do it. If it is going to be like what you said, you know, it's a trip that you're not going to go again, be able to go again for 5 years. I don't know if now's the time to go because I would say that anyway on any summer because of the heat,
I would say that for anybody who's listening on, you know, your opinioneers and such, that for them, yeah, go. But if it's your very first time and you want the whole magical experience, it might not be the time.
For me, it was better than I expected. I think it was, you know, I was nervous about the flight you know, there was just nerves. And then what I would say by day two, it was just kind of like, this is just like, I'm so happy to just see everybody wearing their masks, and it's just part of the routine. Everybody's following the rules. Really, Disney had it so well managed that it was kind of like the most I feel like I've relaxed since COVID has started. I mean, other than just being in your own house and walking in your own neighborhood. You know, heck, it was way more relaxing than going to the grocery store or going to, you know, anywhere out and about, because everybody just followed the rules. So it was still a great trip. Was it our best trip ever? No. But actually we said we should have stayed four nights instead of three, because we started kind of getting more relaxed. So
right.
Anyhow, that was a bit of rambling. Sorry.
No, I think I keep trying to say this. If you can manage expectations about not seeing a normal parade, about not seeing the character meet and greets in their normal capacity, about not having nighttime fireworks shows and spectaculars, I think if you can manage expectations, it's a fantastic time to go right now.
Right.
Health things aside, you know, if you can get here and you're in a state to do so, like a physical state to do so, and you love Disney, I think it's an awesome time to come.
Right.
I think it's also one of those things that you're going to talk about for years and years and years. I was there during the reopening period.
That's true. I think if somebody in your group that you're going with tends to be pessimistic and find the negative in everything, don't take them with you, or decide not to go. Because if you're going to be with a person who's going to be looking at, oh, they don't have this, oh, this is not right, that'll get really annoying. So that would be a piece of advice.
I think it's perfect time for an adult trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because most of Disney Springs is open. I mean, we ate at three different places, four different places, you know. And that was great. That seemed the same. And, you know, what are adults going to the parks for? They're going to ride some rides, you know, see some stuff and go back to the hotel or the bars or wherever. And that's all still there, just like it always was, you know.
That's true.
And, I mean, I like – it's the analogy I give when people ask me about buying the DVC. Or I said, you know, I would never, ever buy – and I know I've said this before – I would never buy a timeshare. But for the reason I would never buy a timeshare, I would buy a Disney timeshare, because you know they're going to do it impeccably well. Well, I wouldn't go to Hershey Park, but I'd go to Disney because I know they're going to do it right. And they proved that when we were there. I've never felt at any – you can honestly say that I felt safest there than I have probably going into the grocery store here.
Right.
And I logged a lot of steps there, you know, and with people around and everything. And I never once thought – was worried about it.
No,
at all.
And now being back home, we ate dinner last night outdoors at a place we often go to. And were we concerned for a little bit, Tim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this guy was just – there's a table next to us of six people, and this guy was just hanging around. And then he sat down basically between their table and our table, and I was like
– It was weird.
You're a little close.
Yeah.
Especially coming back from Disney where – you walk into a restaurant and they give you a section to yourself.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was like, we never felt that way the whole time we were away.
Yeah.
And we came back home and
it
was like, and you know, we're in Maryland and mask on Maryland, and everybody really does do a good job. But it was just kind of like, I got up and switched my seat because of it. So it was just interesting. But Disney's
never
does it right.
Never thought about doing that at Disney.
Never. Never.
He's the moral to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a great place to wrap up to. The safety aspect of it is just, it permeates through everything at Walt Disney World, which is great because it's still a place you can go to have fun, to see what you want to do, to eat the food that you want to eat, to experience the magic. Yes, it's going to be in a different sort of state, but overall, I think there's a lot going for it, and there's a lot going for a Walt Disney World vacation right now. I'll say this much, you know, if you liked hearing my mom and dad on the podcast, you can check out a couple other episodes. Episode 49, my mom and I did a review of the Old Key West Resort, one of our new favorite resorts. It's not new, but we've recently stayed there a lot and we love it. And then, of course, you can hear my mom and dad on our Disney Vacation Club overview. That was two episodes, episode 65 and 66. I'll link all of those in the show notes page at www.opinion.com/97. Great talk, gang, fam, mom, dad.
Yep, it was.
I hope you had a great time. I know I enjoyed hanging out with you in Walt Disney World.
Always.
And I thank you for being on the show as well.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Living the dream, Connor. Living the dream.
Living the dream every day.
Yep. Bye, Pinioneers. Thanks.
Now is the time in the show where I ask for your help, how you can help out with WDW Opinion. There are three simple things you can do to help WDW Opinion out. You can review and subscribe to the show in Apple Podcasts. You can join our Opinioneers community on Facebook, and you can share the show with someone you think might be interested in listening to it. The first thing you can do is leave a review of the show and subscribe to the show over on Apple Podcasts. With each new review and with each new subscriber, Apple will start suggesting the show to more people. With that, our community will continue to grow, but more importantly, I love hearing from the Opinioneers who listen to the show. Really, with each new review, not only does it help others find the show, but guys, it just brings a smile to my face, seeing that there are people out there who are enjoying what we're doing. Thanks to everyone who has left reviews in the past. If you want to leave a review, head over to wdwopinion.com/review to learn how to leave one. It's super easy to do. It will only take you 30 seconds to complete, but it will help us out a lot. And of course, future reviews will be read on the show. The second thing you can do to help is by joining the Opinioneers Facebook group at wdwopinion.com/opinioneers. That's OPINIONEERS. That's where the WDW Opinion community meets. You're an Opinioneer just for listening to this show, and we want you to connect with your fellow Disney fanatics so you can join that community where you can ask questions, get answers 24/7, and you'll be able to get connected to other Disney fanatics. Then finally, probably the easiest thing you can do to help is just by sharing the show with someone who might enjoy it. Word of mouth is still the most important and most powerful tool out there from a growth standpoint, so it would be awesome if you could do that. If you have a friend, a colleague, a family member, a neighbor, anyone who is interested in Walt Disney World or is getting ready to plan a Walt Disney World vacation, be sure to share the show with them. That would be awesome if you could do that for me. Three simple things to help, but it will go a long way. Additionally, remember that each Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, we go live on Facebook. The last few weeks, we have been live in Walt Disney World. I've taken you around the Animal Kingdom. I've taken you around Epcot. And I think this week, we're going to go live from Walt Disney World again. Where are we going to be? That secret remains with me. And with me only. So you'll have to head over to wdwopinion.com/live, L-I-V-E. That's Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And you're going to see where I am in Walt Disney World. You're going to be able to come along with me for the ride in Walt Disney World live in real time. You can ask me questions, you can get answers, and you'll be able to chat with your fellow Opinioneers as well. It's really cool seeing all the Opinioneers showing up each and every week. We got a great community. I love doing it. So I hope you guys can join us on Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern at wdwopinion.com/live. If you are ready to book a vacation to Walt Disney World, and trust me, like you heard from this episode, it's a great time to go. If you can manage expectations, because crowds are low, it's peaceful in the parks, it's just a great time to go. And there's a lot of great deals going on right now as well. If you want to book a trip, I would love to help you with that. As a travel agent with Ear to Their Travel, I'll help you find the best deals, answer any questions you have, book dining reservations for you, and I'll be an advocate for you, someone you can turn to advice. And the best part is this service is 100% free to use. It doesn't cost you a dime. Reach out to me at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at ear, like ear on your head, to theirtravel.com. That's Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at ear to theirtravel.com, and I can help you book a trip. And of course, if there's anything I could ever do to help you out, I am more than happy to try and do so. So, you know, whatever it is, just reach out to me at Connor, C-O-N-O-R, at WDWopinion.com. If you have any questions or if you need anything at all, I'd love to hear from you. That's going to do it for me this week. If you liked what you heard today, then you've been listening to the WDW Opinion Podcast. If by chance you didn't like what you heard, then you've been listening to Relative Unknown. I've been Connor Brown, and until next time, keep hashtag LTD, living the dream, and I'll see ya real soon.